You have multiple opportunities to see Marvin, see Myron, to listen to Myron, and also read his columns. I'm talking about Myron Metcalf. Myron is here on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. I mentioned Marvin inadvertently because his column yesterday is about Marvin Haynes, and we're not talking about this enough because Marvin Haynes, when he was 16, was falsely accused, arrested, and imprisoned for the murder of a 55-year-old man as a flower shop owner, Randy Scherer. And Marvin has now been exonerated after he spent 19 years in prison, and he shouldn't have spent one single day. And Marvin Haynes and his attorneys are pursuing $100,000 per year for the time he spent in prison. And I agree 100% with Myron. They should go for more. And it's pretty stunning, and I'll get to it with Myron in just a second, the number of people who are finally exonerated after they spend, who knows, a year, 5 years, 10 years in prison, and they get no money. Myron, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for coming on. What bothers you the most about what has happened so far with Marvin Haynes?
Oh, I think all of it, you know. I mean, from the beginning till now. I mean, I covered his trial. You know, I think I have such a connection to it is because that was the first major thing I did in Minneapolis with the Star Tribune. I was an intern. They sent me to, you know, they said, hey, go cover this verdict in this murder trial. So I was there, you know, when they said guilty. And he wasn't that much younger than me at that time. So, you know, I think I have a connection to Marvin in that I got to live the next 20 years of my life and do everything that every young person should be able to do as they sort of grow into adulthood. And he was robbed of that. So I think just the beginning. And if you look at the description of, you know, who eyewitnesses said did this violent thing, it was nothing like Marvin Haynes. I mean, it was completely different. I think the guy they said was 180 pounds, 6 feet tall. And that's certainly not Marvin Haynes if you see him. So I think just how this all started and the injustice that was done to Marvin and to the family of the victim as well, because they also deserve justice.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to mention that point. Randy Scherer's family deserved to know who killed their loved one. And your point is so right on. I just want people to think right now, you're 16 years old until you're 36, and think about just the day-to-day, the hour-by-hour, or the major accomplishments in life. And by the way, the joy, the disappointments, whether it's schooling, work, relationship, family time, friends, hanging out, the list never stops, Myron. All of that was taken away from him. So how do we arrive at the right financial compensation? What is your feeling about that from the work you've done on this part of the story?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't a number, right, that nope, could ever bring back. I mean, you could say $20 billion and it wouldn't make up for what he's had to deal with. You know, didn't get a chance to see his grandparents. You know, he was close to his mother suffered a serious stroke, you know, and never really had the opportunity to get out and see her. I mean, there are things that have happened in his life that were the result of his incarceration, his false incarceration, relationships that have to be addressed and repaired. And then you also have to think, when people talk about the money, and anyone who opposes this, and I hope there isn't anyone who would oppose something like this, but you think about all the opportunities he lost to develop the skills one needs to develop the, you know, education, the opportunities, the resume, whatever you want to call it, to be able to make a living. You know, I mean, yes, he was exonerated, but he's essentially been sent out into the world and said, all right, you're free, now go make something of yourself. I think at a minimum, he shouldn't have to worry about, you know, anything financial for the rest of his life. And I don't think $2 million is enough to do that. I don't know the thinking with his legal team and exactly what they're going after, but it should be a more significant sum so that at least Marvin Haynes could just focus on life going forward and not have to worry about a dime.
The cruelty, the stain on his reputation, the now that he's out and he's trying to get back to what life was like. Well, that was a 16-year-old. Now he's a 36-year-old. How are people looking at him? How are they treating him if he's pursuing a job? What do you know about what life is like for Marvin Haynes right now, Myron?
I mean, the conversations I've had with him, and I certainly don't know him as well as others, you know, since his release. But I think he has good people around him, which is great. You know, he's had a certain level of support from individuals. I mean, I had a book club that he was a part of, a panel he was a part of, and he certainly mentioned that. But I mean, he's essentially working kind of a 9-to-5, trying to live a simple life and kind of get back on his feet. But again, the thing that people can't calculate is the trauma attached to being 16 years old and being thrown into a prison system with grown men who have done these things, you know, who have committed some of these acts, who are engaged in some of this activity, and you're an innocent 16-year-old. There's a video that everyone should watch out there with the Marvin Haynes interrogation. He's 16 years old. He's talking to police. And at one point he's saying, hey, you know, I want my parent to be here. You know, I want someone else here with me. He's a child. And I think people have to watch that video to understand how young he was when this all happened. And I was right there, Chad. I was literally there when they said guilty. Mm. When Marvin Haynes turned to that jury and he said, you all are going to burn in hell for this. And he yelled it. And I've never had a moment. That was 20 years ago. I've never had a moment in my career since that. If you ask me what is the most memorable, probably for all the wrong reasons, moment in my entire journalism career, it was that.
I believe
hearing
it.
Marvin Haynes hear guilty and to respond the way that he did. There was a juror who came out and she was crying. And she looked like she was saying, I can't believe I'm doing this. You know, it didn't feel right to anybody who was there. And he just had to pay such a significant penalty for something he didn't do.
This is the outstanding columnist for the Star Tribune, Myron Metcalf, also a big part of ESPN. He wrote a must read. I really encourage you to go to startribune.com and read what Myron wrote about Marvin Haynes. He's 16 years old. He's convicted. He's sentenced to life in prison. And guess what? He didn't do it. Eyewitness testimony turned out to be faulty. You mentioned the police. Have those officers in any way, have they been sanctioned? Have they been punished? Is there a review in any way on their work?
Not to my knowledge. You know, has there been any kind of penalty there? And I guess, you know, the one thing about Marvin, the most amazing thing I would say in the conversations I've had with him is he said he's not mad at anybody. I mean, he said the way that he survived this was that he wasn't going to come out with anger. And he said he's not mad at anyone involved, you know, from anyone who wronged him, eyewitnesses, anyone who put him in that position, because he had to just let that go. And he's a better person than me.
I just was going to say the same thing.
Talk to him,
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, when you talk to him, you realize he's a better person than so many of us in that he just got to the point where he said, you know what? There's nothing I can do about this. I'm going to keep fighting. But he wasn't going to come out angry. And the grace that that individual has just as a human being, it'll bring you to tears because you're sad for him, but he doesn't want you to be. You know, everything I've talked to him, he said he's moving forward with his life and he's not going to move forward being bitter. That said, you know, he should have the opportunity to be compensated for what he experienced, but that's just the first element of the journey that he's on right now for the rest of his life.
Bravo to him. That is amazing. Okay, you also write, according to the Most Policy Initiative, in a study of 1,800 exonerees, only 42% were compensated. So, which is shameful. It's disastrous. It's embarrassing. Take me through this process of what Marvin Haynes and his attorneys and his supporters are going to pursue.
It's complicated for a lot of individuals, right? Because the legal process, it's not black and white, you know, when it comes to the exonerees. You know, there are people who have been exonerated by, let's say, the Supreme Court, But the prosecuting attorney within their state, the prosecution within their state, maybe they haven't said that they did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So there's just so many technical elements of this. But the bulk of the people in Marvin's situation don't get compensated. And I hope that's not his situation. Part of me, you know, writing that column was, you know, in hopes that those officials who are going to make those decisions going forward don't make it complicated. Like, don't put Marvin in the situation that some of these other exonerees have been in where there has to be a fight or they're not compensated. Like, I would hope the folks in Minnesota in those positions of influence would be better than that, would be above that. But it has been a battle for others in Marvin's position because of some of those technical elements attached to being exonerated. Freed from prison under these circumstances doesn't mean you get everything you deserve.
No.
And I think most cases, that's exactly what's happened.
So it's a suit filed with the Supreme Court. Do you understand yet what bar he has to demonstrate? What do they have to show for the authorities to say, okay, here we go, here's X amount of money?
You know, I don't want to act like a lawyer, but I mean, I think Marvin, for, you know, Mary Moriarty and all of the other individuals involved to, you know, put out some of the statements that they did when he was freed from prison, I hope there aren't a lot of layers attached to this. Now, I mean, granted, I think Minnesota law says you can make, at a minimum, you're owed $50,000 for every year of your incarceration. They're asking for $100,000 per year. So I would hope there aren't any complications in Marvin's case. There could be, but why would you want to deal with the backlash attached to that? Because I think there would be. I mean, if those who have the ability to compensate Marvin say no, what would that say about our justice system? What would that say about the people in charge in a situation like this? Is that really the fight you want in this day and age for someone who was a 16-year-old who was stripped of his freedom for something he didn't do? I have learned to do my best to be optimistic because I don't know another way, right?
Yep.
And I just have to believe that the people who can make these decisions will give Marvin what he's due.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks so much for covering this story. Keep covering it, and we'll reach out again. Thanks so much, Myron.
All right, thanks, Chad.
Myron Metcalf, he's just really good at what he does, and I want you to read his stories on a regular basis and also Google this Marvin Haynes column because he deserves his just compensation. And what that is, I don't know, but it is not a small amount of money.